come up right now. So sit back, relax, find some place where you can curl up and enjoy an evening's worth of spoken word entertainment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Translation? Discorder Magazine's March issue is coming in like a lion, but it's not going out like a lamb. The issue is hitting the streets at its over 100 distribution spots, made possible by our fearless advertisers, The Rickshaw, Mint Records, Timber Concerts, Blueprint Events, The Rio Theater, The Cinematech Theater, Massey Books, and the Alma Mater Society. If you prowl around Van, you'll be able to read up on Man Up Vancouver, its wild success and 10-year anniversary celebration, an interview with Shindig's majestic winner Mama Rudgau, how the Poetry is Bad for You reading series captures your soul, a poem submission by cherished Cree Métis writer Samantha Nock, and, of course, a full harvest of album, podcast, and book reviews and live show reviews of local bands. Translation? Forever local, forever free, always salty.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Dead at night. The crime that is almost committed. The stir of nerves at the ticking of the clock. The rescue that might be too late. Or the murderer who might get away. Mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure. We invite you to enjoy stories that keep you in suspense.
Suspense. Tonight we present The Body Snatchers by John Dixon Carr.
Beware of the body snatcher who prowls after dark. Beware of the graves he robs. Beware of the murders he commits to provide new corpses for the doctors.
Up to the year 1832, the body snatchers terrorized England. According to the law, only four bodies a year could legally be supplied to the surgeons for anatomical study. And even these were a monopoly granted to the Barbers and Surgeons Company of London. But the study of surgery had to go on. In hundreds of medical schools all over England, perfectly reputable doctors were compelled to buy bodies and ask no questions. In 1828, burst the scandal of Burke and Hare, who found grave robbing too slow and murdered 16 persons in order to supply Dr. Knox of Edinburgh. And so, out of basic good purpose, sprang the evil of
the body snatcher.
Turn back the clock now to a cold night just 110 years ago. Look into the brick kitchen of a house on Wandsworth Common, not far from London. There in the light of a tallow dip, sits old Mother Slade in her draggled bonnet.
What's a keeping 'em? 2 hours. 2 mortal hours for the Dutch clock. And they're not here yet.
Mother Slade?
And the graveyard not half a mile off. And once I thought I heard church bells ring. And one
Mother Slade, did you call?
No, my girl, I did not call.
But I thought that I...
And what are you doing up at this hour, my girl?
I was only locking up, Mother Slade.
Ain't it enough to have taken you over from a good-for-nothing mother, not worth the gunpowder to blow her up?
Please, Mother Slade.
And given you a good home, and brought you up practically like a lady, with only the housework to do?
I'm sorry, Mother Slade. Only I wish you wouldn't talk like that about me own mother.
And what do you do, Peggy Lester? You stop up until this hour. You mislay me snuff box 20 times a day.
I was only going to say, I thought I heard a horse and cart in the lane.
In our lane?
Yes, Mother Slade. There it is now.
Yes. Easy, my dears. Drive easy with the merchandise. The doctors don't like it if you bump the merchandise.
Merchandise, Mother Slade? What's that?
I'll tell you what it is, McGill.
I didn't mean anything, Mother Slade.
It's your Uncle Matt and your Cousin Rob are coming home from their business. That's what it is. You hear that, Piggy Lister?
I didn't mislay your snuffbox. It's on the table.
And if you don't want me to take my fingernails to you instead of a strap, you get on up to bed this minute, do you?
Yes, Mother Slade.
I'm a-coming, my dears. Don't be impatient. I'm a-coming. Nasty dim light this candle gives. Oh, Mother Slade has got the rheumatics so cruel she can hardly move. Just pull back the bar. Open the door. Well, Matt, did you get it?
Did we get it? Strike my blind, but that's a good one, ain't it, Rob?
Stow the gad, cord, you get. Get inside and close the door.
They ain't after you.
Ain't they? Can't you hear anything?
Of course I heard church bells.
More like a perishing funeral bell, if you ask me.
Take it easy, Rob. Take it easy. We've shaken them off.
Have we? I wish I was as certain as some people. The spades and sack is still in the cart.
Let them stay. Who's a-coming to find them?
Then you didn't get it after all, you hick-foul Peter.
Now, don't you start a-blaming us.
Yeah, you set your potato trap, Mother Slade, or that'll make you set it.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. He was too quick, that's what. The girl was only buried this afternoon.
The sooner the better, my dear. What's the good of the merchandise if it ain't fresh, eh?
You hold your noise and listen. We left the horse and cart outside like we always do. We creeps up to the lit gate of the churchyard.
Walk softly, Matt. Walk softly, Rob, in your oily beaver hats and neckcloths, under the starlight and the white frosted elms. Take care of the graves, too. Spring guns may be set in some of them to protect the dead from marauders. And if the coffin is one of those new iron ones, all your labor will be in vain. Open the gate softly.
Don't make such a bloody row with them shovels.
I can't help it. I'm lousy down with all this stuff.
Oh, and who'll do all the work when we do get there? I will.
Matt.
Aye?
Listen.
I can't hear nothing except your teeth chattering.
Matt, there's other people besides us in this here churchyard.
Aye, 200 or 300 deaders. But they won't bother us.
I mean living people.
Don't talk so.
Somebody's got a dark lantern. I've seen it flash past the gravestones.
Oh? Where?
Can't you see it now? It's a coming straight toward us.
Yes, I see him. Come on.
They've seen us, Matt.
He's got it, Bob. Down beyond the gravestones. Crouch down. They can't shoot through stone.
Matt, it says here, sacred to the memory
it's
of
the girl's relatives. They've been watching her grave.
Hold it, boy. They
want to
get up.
Hold it up to
climb the wall.
Oh,
strength.
If only I had my barkers. First time in 2 years I've gone without a brace of pistols, and this happens.
But you ain't got your barkers, Matt Patterson.
I got what's just as good. Give me a shovel.
What are you going to do?
Charge them. This here shovel's got a nice edge.
Are you daft?
They'll have to take time out to reload, won't they?
Hear that?
Somebody's started a bill. That'll bring down every pier within a mile. If you want a Tyburn ticket and a neck in your in a rope, stop where you are. But if you don't want to get scragged before your time, follow me.
That's all there is to it, Mother Slade. We went out by the gate and blow me if they could stop us.
You perishing numbskulls. Did they recognize you?
No. We had our neckerchiefs around our eyes.
And did you do it?
I don't know. There's blood on the shovel.
No, there ain't, Mother Slade. I wiped it off.
Anyway, we're here. What I want now is a Christian fire to sit by. And a drop of spirits to warm my stomach.
There's no spirits in the house, Nat Patterson.
Don't you lie to me, you ugly man.
Let go of me hand, Nat Patterson. I'm warning you.
Better let him go, Matt.
Yeah.
There's no spirits. Only half a loaf of bread. Don't I know it? I haven't tasted a drop of gin all day. The black dog's on me back.
Well?
Hark at what I say. The doctor was promised a corpse tonight. All right, dearie, he gets a corpse tonight.
There's that funeral bell again.
What's the clock, old hag? Come on, spit it out.
A nice young corpse without any trouble or bother.
Aye.
What about young Peggy upstairs?
Struck me blind.
What about it, eh?
You'd have to be mighty careful.
Why?
You'd have to smother her with a pillow while I sit on her legs. That's what Burke and Eyre done up in Edinburgh. Then you don't leave any marks on them.
See? Here, off a tick, wait. What?
If the doctors see they've been polished off, just plain murdered, they won't have nothing to do with it. These ways, they don't like it.
Like it or not, dearie, they all do.
Who's buying the beast tonight?
Dr. George Arnold.
Him? The young fella out pulling weight?
That's the man, dearie.
But I thought he was too pious and holy to play.
That's what Dr. Arnold thought, too, till they started putting the screws on him at Bart's College. No corpse, they said to him. No lecture. No lecture, no students. They all come to it, dearie, sooner or later.
What beats me is why they got to have these bodies. You'd think the doctors killed enough people as it is, without a buying them after they was dead.
Don't you question the ways of Providence, Matt Patterson.
You can't do it, Matt. You can't do it, Mother Slade.
You stole that noise, Bob Lindsay.
Do you want to wake the poor girl upstairs?
But you can't do it. Miss Tove Arnold, he knows her.
Arnold knows him.
He knows Peggy. Peggy Fair worships the ground he walks on.
Oh.
He set her arm once when Mother Slade broke it, accidental-like, and she can't forget him. What's Arnold going to think when he opens up the sack and he finds...
What can Arnold do? He's bought her, ain't he? He can't go to the police and say he's bought her.
Peggy. Peggy Lester.
Don't do it, Mother Slade. Don't do it.
And how do you two thickheads know what Mother Slade is going to do?
You're going to kill her, ain't you?
Peggy. Peggy Lester.
I thought I heard her moving about upstairs.
You did, Mr. Milk and Water. She's on the stairs now.
Rob, you're the least to be depended on. Go out and fetch him the sack.
Don't do it. It'll bring us all bad luck.
Matt, you're a lad after me own heart. You stop where you are and do just as I tell you. Trim the candle. Let's have it all nice and snug.
What'll she bring, do you think?
15 guineas. Maybe 20. Maybe more.
20 guineas? Strike me blind. But this is a way of doing business that I like.
Did you call me Mother Slade?
That's right, my ducky. That's right, my little pet. Put your wrap around you and your slippers to keep your feet warm and come right down here to Mother Slade.
I'm coming, Mother Slade. I'm coming.
Those times.
surgeon and still be an honest man. At that drugged hour of the night, look into the sitting room of a spacious house. Many candles are still alight there, though they have burned down nearly to their silver sockets. There's Chinese paper on the walls, and a Turkey carpet underfoot. In front of the fire, now almost out, sits Dr. George Arnold with his bottle green coat and heavy hair.
Dr. Arnold, sir.
I beg your pardon, Mrs. Tancred.
Dr. Arnold, sir, it's gone 2:00.
Yes, so it has.
You've got a lecture to deliver tomorrow, and you'll be all worn out. Why don't you go on up to bed?
Mrs. Tancred.
Yes, sir?
You're a jewel of a housekeeper. I admire you, and I can't do without you, but would you please go away and let me alone?
Sure, I'm very sorry, sir. No offense intended.
Stop. I shouldn't have said that. I'm thinking too much, perhaps.
I'm smoking too many cigars, if you'll excuse me.
Why must they keep tolling that bell at East Hill Church? Why must they keep it up all night?
Well, sir, Elsie says the parson told him to do it. Elsie?
Wait. Who is Elsie?
Dr. Arnold, sir. I know you're always up in the clouds, mooning over books and whatnot, but I did think you'd recognize the name of your own parlourmaid.
Oh, that Elsie. I see. Well?
Elsie says it's because of the murder in the churchyard.
What murder?
2 resurrection men. Body snatchers, sir. Oh, you wouldn't know anything about such people.
No, of course not.
They were caught trying to rob a grave. But they got away. One of them was a horrible big fella. Spit Willie Kendrick's head open with the edge of a shovel. Is anything wrong, sir?
No, not exactly.
Well, I thought for a second, seeing how you looked.
Did they get the body?
Yes, sir. It was Willie Kendrick. His head was split open with a shovel.
No, I mean, did these resurrection men get what they were after?
No, sir.
Thank God.
Oh, you may well say that, Doctor.
Wasn't exactly speaking in the religious sense, but never mind.
Well, Elsie says there are what she calls peelers all over the place.
Peelers?
Yes, these new policemen. After Sir Robert Peel. And somebody from the new detective police that they're using instead of the Bow Street runners.
Well, Mr. Tancred, I'm going to smoke one more cigar and then I'm going to bed.
Very good, sir.
You see, sometimes you give orders, then it's too late to recall them. Whatever the medical practice is, you can't look your conscience in the face afterwards. Then, I can't tell you how or why, a miracle comes along and saves you and you're free. What was that?
Sounds like a horse and cart in the drive, sir.
Mrs. Tancred.
Yes, Doctor.
Will you please go upstairs? Now make haste.
If it's visited, sir, or even a patient.
Mrs. Tancred, you heard my instructions. Obey them.
Sir, there's the front door.
Yes, I heard it. For the last time, go away. I will admit whatever visitors we have.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, dearie.
Oh, come into the sitting room here, Miss... Mrs. Slade.
No, sir. Just call me Mother Slade. You don't hardly seem natural or friendly to hear anything else. It's a pleasure to curtsy to you, Doctor. Cool. What a lovely room.
I suppose...
Your candles is going out, though. One by one. Poof. Then you'll be in the dark.
I suppose you've come to report failure.
Failure, dear?
I understand you didn't get what you went after.
Bless you, dearie. We got something just as good. Finest piece of merchandise you ever saw.
You haven't got it here.
Bless you, dearie. Mother Slade always keeps her word. Bring the merchandise in, my dears, so the doctor can see it.
Quiet, please.
Oh, of course, dearie, I forgot. The big fella with the black eyebrows is Uncle Mac. The little fella with the watery eyes is Cousin Rob. And between them, in that sack, they're carrying...
Who is it in the sack?
19-year-old girl, dearie. Finest anatomical specimen you ever saw.
Merciful heavens.
If you want this here thing dumped, Governor,
easy now, Matt.
Why did you bring it here?
That's where you told us to bring it, dearie.
I mean, why did you bring it to the front door? Why not to the surgery?
Only place in the house where there was lights, Governor. Hurry up now. Where do you want it?
Well, take it...
Yes, dearie?
Take it over and put it in the cupboard there, where I'm pointing.
This cupboard here, sir?
Yes, then close the cupboard door.
Shame on you two. tracking your muddy boots over the doctor's lovely turkey carpet. Ease in, dears. Ease in now.
All right, Robin. Keep going.
Don't bruise the merchant, Don. Whatever you do, don't bruise the merchant, Don.
Right, my blind. What's the odds? She can't feel it now. Here's your body, Mr. Sawbones. Now, let's see your money.
Well, just one moment before I give it to you.
There ain't no itch in this, is there? There better not be.
No, I made a bargain with you, and I'll stick to it.
Thank you. That's uncommon genteel of you.
Kind of stand back, sir. You're two stone of fat heavier than I am, and you don't impress me.
Easy, Matt. Take it easy.
I want to ask only one question. Where did you get that body?
That's a question, dearie, what people in your profession don't ask.
Why not?
Because they don't dare. That's why.
Would the police be interested in where you got the body?
No, dearie. Not us so interested in as where we brought it to your house. It's your responsibility now.
Yes, I suppose it is. The victim wouldn't be, by any chance, that pretty little girl you used to treat so unmercifully.
You hold your noise about how I treated her.
I was rather fond of Peggy.
Oh, strike me blind. I think the sawbones.
Oh, get out of this house, all of you. Go on, get out.
Not without that money, dearie. It's 20 guineas now.
There's money on the table under that newspaper. Take what you want, and get out of here before I...
Oh, what was that?
Ah, what was it?
A late visitor, I imagine.
Was you expecting anybody?
No.
Don't drop the lovely money, Lord. Don't drop it all over the carpet. Pick it up.
Is there a back way out of here?
Yes, it's the way you should have come. Through that arch and down the passage.
Thank you for the rhino, Governor. And no games, mind you. If you know what's good for you.
Good night, dearie. Remember, you've got the body now.
Yes. I've got the body now.
Sir.
In heaven's name, Mrs. Tancred, haven't you gone to bed yet?
I had to get up, sir, to answer the bell.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Dr. Holmes, what's the matter with you?
Matter?
You're as white as a ghost, and you're almost crying.
Am I? Well, we must remedy that.
It's so dark in here, I can barely see you sitting there. The candles going out one after another. Nothing but smoke and an ugly smell of grease in that cupboard door.
What about that cupboard door?
Oh, I always declare, sir, it won't keep shut without any latch or bolt, if you'll excuse the little...
Mrs. Tancred, keep away from that cupboard.
What's wrong, sir? Are you ill, Ronnie?
No, but keep away from that cupboard. Who rang the bell?
Oh, dear, I was almost forgetting. It's that man Elsie was talking to us about.
What man?
The officer of the detective police, sir. He wants to see you.
Well, I'll see him, but... In some other room, not here. It's, as you say, there's not enough light.
Not a bit of it, Doctor, not a bit of it. Never too dark, as you might say, where the police are concerned.
I couldn't have it, sir. You must have followed me down the hall.
Are you...
That's right, Doctor. I'm Stalker at your service. Inspector Stalker.
Oh, how do you do, Inspector? Mrs. Tancred, you may go.
Why, Elise, sir? I'll just get some more candles and put them in that bracket by the cupboard. It's not in use.
No, you needn't trouble.
It's no trouble, sir. Excuse me.
First of all, Doctor, I must apologize for intruding as late as this.
Not at all, Inspector. Will you be seated?
Thank you, sir. Thank you kindly. Now, I dare say you're wondering why I'm here.
Oh, yes, I am, rather.
It's a bad business, Doctor. A very bad business.
You mean the murder in the churchyard?
Oh, you've heard about it.
Well, my housekeeper said something about a man being killed with a shovel.
That's right, Doctor. Not much doubt about who did that.
No?
No. The little fellow dropped his dark lantern with the initials on it. They're professional body snatchers. We've had our eye on them for a long time. Speaking of body snatchers, Doctor...
Well...
I expect this anatomy law is pretty hard in you surgeons.
It's an infamous law, sir.
All the same, Doctor, it is the law.
Yes.
And if any surgeon happened to be caught with a body, especially a murdered body...
What are you hinting at?
Nothing, Doctor, nothing. By your leave, I only want to ask a question.
Well?
What time did your friends leave? Now, come, Doctor. As one man of the world to another, do you see any green in my eye? You're not going to say you had no guests when their horse and cart are still at your front door.
They didn't get away.
No, Doctor, they didn't. They made a little reception for me as they left by the back door. Darby's on the wrists. Snap. Just as I might reach out and touch your wrist. Like this.
What do you mean by Darby's?
Handcuffs. I've got a pair in my pocket. Gags into their mouths. That's to keep them from biting.
Do we have to go on with this? You already seem to know everything I could tell you.
Not exactly everything. I don't know, for instance, where you've hidden the girl's body.
You're a very diligent man, Inspector Stalker.
Thank you, sir. I try to do my duty.
You said a girl?
These gin-muddled degenerates have been watched every second since they left East Hill Churchyard. They hadn't a body then, but they brought one here. And there's only one other person who lives in the same house with them.
Dr. Arnold, sir.
Mrs. Pancred, listen to me.
Yes, sir.
Must you always break in with the most completely ill-timed entrances at all the worst period of my life?
I was only trying to be helpful, sir.
That's right, madam. Always be helpful.
You had to have some light. Here's the candle, sir. Part of them. In a big candelabra. We can hang them in the bracket.
Ma'am, hold up that light. Hold it high.
Really, sir? I'm not in the habit of being spoken to with...
Hold it high, I tell you.
Do as the inspector tells you, Mrs. Pancred.
This is a very fine carpet you've got here, Doctor.
Yes, others have admired it tonight.
But it oughtn't to have footprints on it. Muddy footprints. Footprints leading from the door, past the sofa, past the hearth, over to
that cupboard. Quite correct.
I think that's done it, Dr. Arnold.
I think it has, Inspector Stalker.
We couldn't have proved anything against you for that churchyard business. Not this.
Let me open Bluebeard's cupboard, Inspector. Let me be the first to show you what's inside. You wanted a certain body. It appears you've come to the right place. Now,
look. Lord Almighty.
I'm the body, Mr. Police. Standing up, I'm very much alive. I'm wearing a nice new dress that the doctor gave me.
That I gave you?
Don't say anything. Please don't say anything.
Stop a bit, miss. Aren't you Peggy Lester?
Yes. Yes, because the doctor has to be so terribly respectable, and a girl who's fond of him has to come here in secret.
Wait a minute, everybody. Peggy Lester, you're lying.
I am not lying.
So that's it. Why didn't I guess it? It's the oldest body snatcher trick in the world,
is it?
Of course, the old pinchpenny, like Mother Slade, couldn't sacrifice a good household grudge. Of course they brought the body here, instead of taking it to the surgery, where it might get locked up.
Could you be persuaded, Inspector, to tell us just what you're talking about?
The body snatcher, sir.
Well, what about them?
They take a living accomplice and put him into a sack and sell him to a green doctor as a dead man.
Yes, but see here...
They get the best price they can. Then in the middle of the night, that accomplice gets up and robs the doctor's house. And the doctor can't tell us because he's bought illegal goods.
I never intended to go through with it.
No, young woman?
I tell you, I wasn't going to rob the house. They made me do this. I was going to tell Dr. Arnold. When I found out where they were taking me, I pretended to go through with it so I could warn the doctor. They can hurt so much, you'll agree to almost anything.
Oh, that sounds like the truth, but it puts me in a funny position and no mistake.
Well, your three murderers, Inspector, seem to be leaving.
Yes, they're leaving right enough. Tossed up like fowls and under guard.
Does anybody go with them?
Well, how can anybody go with them? I'm willing to believe this girl acted under threats. She's committed no crime. And I don't for the life of me see how we can touch you.
Can't touch me?
No, sir. And confound you for making me lose a night's sleep. There's no body. You didn't even buy a body. Will you tell me, Doctor, just what crime you committed?
And so ends The Body Snatcher. The story of London at midnight, 100 years ago. And tonight's story of suspense.
presents these tales of mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure for your relaxation and enjoyment. Next Tuesday, there will be another in this series. Same hour, 9:30 Eastern Wartime. William Speer, the producer, John Beats, the director, Alexander Semler, the composer, conductor, and John Dixon Carr, the author, are collaborators on Suspense.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Translation? Discorder Magazine's March issue is coming in like a lion, but it's not going out like a lamb. The issue is hitting the streets at its over 100 distribution spots, made possible by our fearless advertisers, The Rickshaw, Mint Records, Timber Concerts, Blueprint Events, The Rio Theater, The Cinematech Theater, Massey Books, and the Alma Mater Society. If you prowl around Van, you'll be able to read up on Man Up Vancouver, its wild success and 10-year anniversary celebration, an interview with Shindig's majestic winner Mama Rudgal, how the Poetry is Bad for You reading series captures your soul, a poem submission by cherished Cree Métis writer Samantha Nock, and, of course, a full harvest of album, podcast, and book reviews and live show reviews of local bands. Translation, forever local, forever free, always salty.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X minus one.
Tonight, Student Body by F.L. Wallace. Our story in 1 minute.
Girl.
Boy.
Moon.
June.
Ring.
Wedding.
Home.
Money.
Baby.
Money.
Education.
Money.
Retirement.
Money.
Solution?
United States savings bonds. There's a smart couple. They're looking to the future. They know how important it is to plan for the future now with savings bonds.
Yes, the plans you make today will determine what kind of tomorrow you have. Are you a student? Are you a young married couple? Are you approaching the golden years? Whatever your age, whatever your situation, savings bonds can be a big help in making your tomorrow secure and happy.
Plan wisely. Buy savings bonds regularly where you work or where you bank. They're a good investment. You're saving your money and you're earning more. Series E bonds pay 3% interest compounded twice a year when the bonds are held to maturity.
And savings bonds are as safe and sound as America itself. What's more, they're protected against loss or theft.
For the big things in your life, be ready with United States Savings Bonds.
And now, Student Body by F.L. Wallace. Emergency report to Central Colonial Service, subject Planet 7G63, Glade, reporting Dano Marin. Special assignment from Biological Control. Report consisting of standard universal tapes and special recorded comment. First segment, landing day plus one, 6 a.m. sidereal mean time. Voices on tape, myself, Colonial Executive Shep Hafner, and Athiel, a female member of our crew. Tape commencing.
Watch your step on the ramp, Marin. It's tilted.
Oh, yes, I will, I will. All right, where are these people?
Over there, a few hundred feet. Beneath that tree.
Well, come on, then.
You know, I'm going to have to note in the log that you cleared the planet for colonization as of last night.
I understand. I'm taping this now for my records. I take full responsibility for the safety of this planet.
All right. But wait until you see this. Here we are. Now, do you see there? In the clearing beneath that tree?
Why, good Lord, they haven't a stitch of clothes on. None of them.
That's just what I told you.
Are they all right? They're not...
No, they're just asleep. You can see them breathing.
Look here, Abner. Who gave them permission to sleep out here in the open?
Shh, don't wake them yet. I gave them permission, Marin. They've been cooped up in that ship for over 6 months. They wanted to sleep outside. And in view of your clearance, I couldn't see any reason to refuse permission.
I know. You were within your rights. But the clothing, why, they don't even have blankets.
They did have, when they bedded down last night. Some of them even used the standard-issue sleeping bags.
Well, then what happened to them? There are 13 people sleeping around that tree, and they're stark naked, all of them.
Last night you told me there was nothing dangerous on Glade. Do you still think so?
I know so. I have the complete biological survey.
Does your survey account for anything like this?
You know it doesn't.
That's what I thought. Okay. Now you've seen it for yourself. Let's wake them up and get them back to the ship.
No, wait. You better wake them one at a time. This will be embarrassing enough for them as it is.
Yes, I suppose you're right. I will wake the nearest one first. That's Athiel, our lab technician.
Yes, well, here, take my jacket. Cover her with it before you wake her.
All right. Wake up, Athiel. All right, Athiel, wake up. It's Executive Hatton.
What? Oh, what is it?
I'm sorry, Athiel. Something has happened.
My clothes! My blanket, everything's gone.
Now, be careful. Don't wake the others.
Oh, yes, the others. Why, good heavens, they're all that
way. Athiel, just go back to your cabin on the ship. Everything is all right. We'll explain it to you when we have the others safely back.
Well, I feel so foolish. How could this happen? What's the meaning of
it? Now, just get back to the ship. Your clothes back there are perfectly safe.
Yes, it's all right. Thank you.
You told her we'd explain it later, Hafner. Do you think we can?
That's your job, isn't it?
This planet is as new to me as it is to you.
You're the biologist. What destroyed their clothing?
It would have to be something that could destroy both blankets and clothing without waking the people.
Nocturnal insects?
Ordinarily, I'd say that was a distinct possibility if it weren't for the fact that our surveys show no evidence whatsoever of any such insects on Glade.
Your survey could have missed them, couldn't it?
Not if they existed in any great quantity. Besides, if insects were the answer, there should be some kind of evidence of them right here in the area where Athiel was lying. Certainly one or two of them would be crushed when she rolled over in her sleep.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Now, look for yourself. There's absolutely no sign of anything at all here.
Well, what about some chemical, some vapor oozing from the ground?
No chance at all. I'd rule that out completely.
Then what?
Well, here's the tree itself. I suppose it could exude some sort of a chemical that might dissolve cloth, but I can check that in the lab.
Well, we'd better arouse the rest of these people and get them back to the ship.
Hey, wait.
What? What is it?
Why, it's some kind of an animal. Just caught a glimpse through there. Ah, there he is. Yeah, you see behind that bush?
Yeah, it looks almost like a chipmunk.
Yes, and he's feeding on something. Why, it looks like a piece of cloth.
Marin, do you think
that... Shh, he doesn't hear us. I'll just ease up to him now. Closer. Closer. Now!
You got him.
Oh, where hit you, you little devil.
Watch out, Marin, he's got sharp teeth.
You're telling me. Easy there, boy, easy. Yeah, like to have your head stroked? Ah, sure you do. That's the boy.
He's calming down.
Yes, look at that. Oh, he's nestling in the crook of my arm, almost like a kitten.
Almost. Marin, I hope you don't mind short sleeves.
Now, what do you mean?
He's already eaten half the sleeve off your shirt. I think we've found the answer to our problem.
The animal was a small furry mammal resembling an Earth-type rodent. Its overall length is 14 centimeters, weight 512 grams. Fur stringy and sparse, color a light beige, indicating no particular protective coloring. The animal was placed in a special cage in a biological laboratory aboard ship for further study. Next tape, landing date plus two.
Can we exterminate it?
Ah, it's quite a job.
How about locally?
Hardly. It's ecologically basic.
Look, Marin, you're from biological control. I've just got an executive's rating.
Well, look, you know how control works. They send a survey ship over and record the neural currents of the animals. They get everything that has a brain, including insects, and they take a few specimens to check the patterns. Now, here's the report on Glade. The survey shows that this animal is one of only four species of mammals on the planet. It is also the most numerous.
So if we kill them off here, others will swarm in from other areas.
Yes, that's about it. Probably millions of them around the planet. Of course, if you want to put a barrier across the connection to the mainland, you might be able to wipe them out locally.
Look, Marin, I've got a tight schedule. I can't spare dirt-moving equipment for that. By the way, what do they eat?
Well, as far as I can see, anything. Insects, fruit, berries. You could call it an omnivore. Now that our clothing is handy, it eats that, too.
I thought our clothing was supposed to be vermin-proof.
It is on 27 planets. On the 28th, we met up with a little fella that has better digestive fluids, that's all. Right. He's eating a leather belt right now.
Yeah. Are they likely to bother the crops we plant?
They shouldn't, but then I would have said the same thing about our clothing.
All right, Marin, you worry about the crops. Find some way to keep them out of the fields. Meanwhile, everyone sleeps inside the ship until we can build dormitories.
Biological examination of omnivora posed this question. Why only four species of mammals on Glade? No reptiles and only a few birds. On all comparable planets, a large variety of species. Nearest Earth parallel, fossil remains from the late Carboniferous show creatures like the omnivora, but on Glade there appears to be no further evolution. Next tape segment, L plus 22, place, temporary warehouse, Quartermaster Crone and myself.
There you are, Mr. Marin. They got in every seat, sack, and barrel in this part of the warehouse.
Oh, what makes you think it's mice?
Look, I've worked in grain elevators for 30 years in Kansas. Look at the way that sack is gnawed. And look over there, droppings.
Well, it's not exactly...
I know. So they're mice-like. I want to know how to get rid of them.
Have you tried poison?
You tell me what poison to use, and I'll use it. They got into a 100-pound sack of arsenic and went through it like it was whipped cream.
Well, how did they get in? It's a fused dirt floor, isn't it?
It should be pest tight. But see? There are cracks along here. They must have burrowed through. They were loose in here, and we don't have time to build another warehouse. They've got to be controlled here.
Well, catch me a few of them alive, and I'll see what I can do.
Next morning, a dozen live specimens of mice-like mammals were delivered to the lab. No two of them were affected by the same poison, and the poison developed to control the omnivora was completely ineffective. Alternate discussed with Executive Hafner and Machinist Tully of Computer Engineering. Next tape, L plus 24. Hafner, Tully, and myself.
I tried it out yesterday, Mr. Hafner. I think I've got all the bugs licked now.
Tully, I don't want any more metal used than is necessary. This isn't standard authorized equipment.
You're not dealing with a standard authorized problem.
Are you ready to activate the device?
Sure thing. Here, help me get it down from this assembly bench down on the floor.
All right.
There you go, kitty. Now, what do you think of her? A robot cat.
Well, I still think we need at least three of them.
Mr. Marin, inventory on colonial expeditions is always short. One will have to do. All right, Tully. Show us how this mechanical mouse catcher operates.
You better get out of the way, Mr. Marin. If you've touched any of the mice in the lab, she'll go for you. She reacts to smell as well as sight and sound.
All right, Tully, start it up.
All right, kitty, go ahead and have a good time.
Oh, she moves like a cat.
You know, I wouldn't bet a plug nickel on any mouse in the same warehouse with that baby.
Robot cat device proved relatively successful in Warehouse 1. Rodent damage held below danger margin. Next tape, L plus 37. Tully, Hafner, and myself.
I can't salvage it, Mr. Hafner. Just look at that. That skeleton was chrome steel. Now it's bent. The skin was duroplastic, and now it's cut to ribbons. The computer parts are all smashed to bits.
How do you account for it, Tully?
Well, look around the poor thing. You had me build it for mice. These things weren't mice. They're a good foot long. They just outnumbered him, that's all.
You examined these dead animals, Marin?
Not closely.
Well, you'll find your mice have grown. They ganged up on that cat.
There aren't supposed to be any rats on Glade, are there?
Well, there weren't supposed to be any mice either. What are you going to do?
We'll have to build another warehouse. 2-foot-thick fused floors.
Wait a minute, Mr. Hafner. To do that, we'll have to stop all other construction. The atomic generator...
Why not build more robot cats?
You weren't here when we opened the doors, Marin. The warehouse was swarming with rats. Tully, how many robot cats would we need? 5? 15?
We don't have enough parts to build more than 3.
If we need more than that, we'll have to rob the computer in the spaceship. And that's one thing I refuse to do. The spaceship is our only link with Earth until the next wave in 2 years. All right, then I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll floodlight the supplies at night. We'll post a guard with half-charged rifles until we can move to the new warehouse. That'll take about 10 days. Meanwhile, our fast crops are ripening. It's my guess that the rats will turn to that for food. Now, in order to protect our future food supplies, you'll have to activate your cold storage animals,
Mr.
Marin.
Hafner, it's against regulations to release any cold storage animals on a planet until after a complete investigation.
That takes 10 to 20 years. This is an emergency.
I don't want to be responsible for another rabbit-infested Australia or that planet in the Centauri system that the snails took over.
Marin, I'll take the responsibility. You're recording now, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. If that isn't authorization enough, I'll put it in writing.
Well, the beast I've got for this job won't be any good against rats this size.
You've got hormones. Use them.
Dead rats were gathered and frozen for further study. Observed animals, a wide variation in size. Internally, a lack of uniformity in organs. Some specimens had huge fangs and delicate jaws. Others had tiny teeth and massive bone structure. Obviously, the most scrambled species ever encountered by a biologist. Reproductive cells were especially baffling, proceeding with hormone treatment on cold storage Earth animals. Next tape, L plus 39. Lab technician, Athiel, and myself.
First one is coming out of it, Mr. Marin.
Yes, that makes 85% viability. That's not bad. All right, fella, now take it easy,
Oh, he's a cute little fella.
But he's tough. That's a wire-haired terrier. They're small, but they've been used for ratters since the Middle Ages.
Hmm. You think he's nearly ready for the hormone course?
I think so. All right, first pituitary injection.
Ready. All right, now, this is going to hurt just a little, fella.
Oh. Yeah, it's a dirty trick, isn't it, jabbing you with a needle when you're fresh out of the deep freeze? But don't you worry, fella. You'll be glad you had it. You'll stand a better chance against those rats when we work you up to about a Great Dane size.
L plus 50, artificially enlarged terriers loosed in the fields of the fast crops. Following tape, field observation of terriers. Executor Hafner and myself.
How long have they been at it, Marin?
Since daybreak. I have to bring the dogs in at night and shoot them full of antibiotics.
Will the dogs last?
Well, this crop will be harvested in about a week. We'll make that. And there'll be 2 weeks to rest up before the next fast crop shows above ground. I think we've got the rats licked for a while.
Well, when you get a chance, you might ask some of those PhDs in Central how they happened to hand us a survey and forgot to give us a few details like mice and rats.
I have been checking on that, Mr. Hafner. I don't think there's any doubt. When that survey was made before we landed, there weren't any mice and rats on Glade.
Then where did they come from? How did they get here?
I don't know. But we're going to have to find out.
Research project on pseudo-mice and pseudo-rats interrupted by field trip with Biological Survey Officer Whitehead. Tape L plus 63 in field geological survey vehicle. Whitehead and myself.
You think you got troubles? Can you read a sonar map?
No.
Here, look. See this scope? It reads straight down about 10 miles. I'm supposed to be out looking for oil shale, but I got kind of interested in this. Look. First few feet down, you can find fossils. After the first few feet, that's about 20,000 years, there are no fossils until you get way down here. That's about the same as late Carboniferous on Earth. Then you get the fossils again. It doesn't figure.
But isn't that usual, changes in geological eras?
You don't get it, man. I'm not talking about eras, I'm talking about years. Straight down from here, 20,000 years ago, this was a desert. And then 3 years later, it was a jungle. 5 years after that, there was a glacier. Earth normal would be 50,000 years or more for a change like that.
What caused it?
Well, you've got me. Fluctuations in the sun, I don't know, but talk about changeable weather. This planet really has it.
Based on accumulated data, theory developed regarding mammalian life on planet Glade. Tape L plus 65, place temporary headquarters of Executive Hafner.
Marin, I've got a lot of work to clear up this morning.
I thought you might like to know where the mice came from.
They don't bother us anymore.
I've also determined the origin of the rats.
They're under control.
I wonder if they are, Mr. Hafner.
What do you mean?
Mr. Hafner, I've checked this with Whitehead. Between 100 million years and 20,000 years ago, this planet was changing violently and quickly. The first change wiped out the dinosaur just the way it did on Earth. But it kept on changing. Desert, glacier, jungle, and all this within the lifespan of a single animal. For 1 million years, this was the norm of existence on Glade.
I've checked geological survey. The planet is stable now.
Well, that's not what I'm getting at. The point is, survival was difficult. Only one species of mammals managed to come through.
Now, wait a minute, Marin. There are four species, ranging in size from a squirrel to a water buffalo.
One species. They're the same. If the food supply for the largest animal increases, some of the smaller so-called species just grow up. Conversely, if the food becomes scarce in any category, the next generation, which apparently can be produced almost instantly, switches to a form which does have an adequate food supply.
The mice?
The mice weren't here when we got here. They were born of the squirrel-sized omnivora.
And the rats?
Born of the next larger size. After all, we are environment, too, and they adapt to environment.
Let me get this straight. The mutations...
On Earth, it would be mutation. Here, it's merely normal evolution. These animals have no genes or chromosomes. I don't know how they pass down heredity, but they react to external conditions far faster than anything we've ever encountered.
Then we'll never be free from pests unless, of course, we rid the planet of all animal life.
Yeah, you mean with radioactive dust? That won't work. They've survived worse.
Oh, maybe we could leave the planet. Leave it to the animals. I could exercise authority under Clause 364.
It's too late for that.
What do you mean?
We sent back the specimen ship. The animals are on Earth, too.
But those specimens were in cages.
Yes, but the next generation would be small enough to get out through the bars. They'll be running free in the cargoes of the spaceships. They'll land on Earth, and the first thing you know, a new mutation of rats will appear. They won't have any reason to connect it with the specimens from Glade.
They won't be able to vermin-proof every building on Earth.
No, we've got to stay here. We've got to study the animals here and find out how to beat them. If we can.
Next tape, L plus 83. Place, field outpost. Quartermaster Crone, Hafner, and myself.
I saw it, Mr. Hafner. I saw it.
Are you sure?
There. You see that tree? No, the big one.
The white flowers?
That's the one. I saw it behind there.
Can you describe it?
Well, I didn't get a good... That's it. That's what I heard.
It sounds like a tiger. I've heard them like that in India.
You watch. Right by that tree.
Hey, look out. It's heading this way.
Give me that rifle. Hurry up. Shoot. Try again. I've got it. Come on, let's take a look.
Now look out. Might be still alive.
No, I hit it square with that second charge. What in the devil is it?
It's a good 8 feet long. What do you make of it, Marin?
Well, except for the lack of markings, it closely resembles a tiger.
Look at those claws.
We chase the rats out of the warehouse, they go to the fields. We hunt them down in the fields with dogs, and they breed tigers.
Well, that's easier than rats. We can shoot tigers.
Wait a minute. We've been here less than 3 months, Marin. The dogs have been in the fields only 2. And that tiger's mature. How do you account for that?
I'm not sure, Mr. Hafner, but I imagine if the survival factor is high, the young don't ever have to be young.
What?
They can be born as fully functioning adults.
Development report. Mice under control. Field rats under control by terriers. Tiger-like animals under control with searchlight and rifle. Additional complication. The original animal developed an appetite for electrical insulation. There is no protection except to keep the power on at all times. The last tiger-like animal was seen at L plus 130. After that, the attack ceased. By L plus 2 years, the animal seemed to have been controlled in all its forms. However, 3 months before the next colonists were due, a new animal was detected. Food was missing from the fields. Dogs were useless. The animal seemed to roam the fields and the dogs did not attack. Patrols were unable to find the animal. Tape L plus 2 years. Hafner, Engineer Tully, and myself.
Now, here's the way I'm rigging it up, Mr. Hafner. Whatever it is, it spotted the photoelectric cell rig. So I've worked up an alarm that reacts to body radiation.
You're sure the animal won't spot that?
Well, I'm burying it in the field. Then we'll move the visible alarms to another field.
All right, Tully. As soon as the alarm goes off, notify Mr. Marin and me. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Just as soon as the alarm goes off.
L2 plus 15. Radiation alarm sounded. Place, field station, Hafner and myself.
Look out where you're walking, Marin. We don't want to scare it away.
Well, there are dogs in that field, aren't they?
Well, there were supposed to be, but they didn't bark. Quiet.
There it is. See?
Huh?
It's in between the rows.
Look out. Give me a clear shot.
Now, wait a minute. Don't shoot.
Look, Marin, I'm the executive here. I say it's dangerous.
Dangerous? That's why you can't shoot. It's more dangerous than you know.
Quiet. It'll hear you.
We're downwind. Now, listen, Hafner. This is important.
I don't want any lecture now, Marin. I don't want to lose the shot.
You've got to listen. That animal could evolve mice. We stopped mice and it brought rats. We turned back the rat and provided the tiger.
All right, we stopped the tiger.
Not really. There was another animal being formed. The one that's in that field now. It took the animal 2 years to create it. How, I don't know. 1,000,000 years were required to evolve it on Earth.
He's moving away. Marin, I'm going to shoot.
Don't shoot. We can't destroy the animal. It's on the Earth now and on other planets. We've never even been able to get rid of our own rats. How can we exterminate this animal?
All the more reason to start now. Get down and give me a clear shot.
Listen. Are their rats better than ours? Will their beasts win or ours be stronger? Or will the two make peace, unite, and interbreed? It's not impossible. This animal could do it if interbreeding had a high survival factor. Don't you see? After the tiger, they bred this thing. If we shoot it down, what'll come next? Look at it, standing erect. Opposable thumbs, binocular vision, a large brain capacity. This one I think we can compete with. It's the one after this that I don't want to face.
Marin, it must hear us. It's looking this way.
Look at it, Hafner. He's holding his hands up to show us he's got no weapon. Drop your rifle.
Are you sure?
Drop your rifle! He's coming this way.
He's got one of those white blossoms in his hand.
Yes. Must be a sign of peace.
Well, it looks almost like a man. I wonder what's inside that body.
I wonder what's inside that head.
You have just heard X-1 presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, which this month features Verbal Agreement by Arthur Sellings, the story of an unsuccessful poet who was forced to ask what it was the aliens could want that was half as precious as the skins they wouldn't sell. Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Student Body, a story from the pages of Galaxy written by F.L. Wallace and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were John Raby, Bob Hastings, Kate Wilkinson, James Stevens, Charles Carruth, and Merrill E. Joels. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Bob Maurer and is an NBC Radio Network production.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you loved and deserted you, that makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon
from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Yes, how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM.